Lee Carsley has been named, although I'm not sure.
He's not coming now, is he?
Well, that's the thing. Or Big Sam is the other one.
It's always Big Sam, isn't it?
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
You are very welcome back to Off the Ball. We are looking forward to the All-Ireland Senior Football Final this Saturday. It is a first ever meeting of Mayo and Tyrone. We can speak now to the last All-Ireland winner to play for Mayo. It happened in the mid-80s. The All-Ireland title wasn't won with Mayo, but three of them secured with Offaly in 1971, 72 and 1982 by Sean Lowry. Sean is with us now. Sean, how are you getting on?
Not too bad, Will. Not too bad.
Tell me first, before we talk about your own All-Ireland titles, the potential for this weekend and the curse being put to bed and 70 years of waiting for Mayo. You lived in Mayo for what, about 20 years or so, did you?
No, I lived in it for 16 years, yeah. From 1984 until 2000, yeah.
What's the feeling about the potential end for the wait and a fourth Sam Maguire potentially being won this weekend, John?
Well, it's a kind of an annual thing, you know, isn't it, for the last while, you know, that Mayo, will they do it, will they not, whatever, you know. So I think they have a great chance. I think they have a fantastic chance. I would be one that would be very optimistic for Saturday anyway, you know.
When you made the move west to Mayo with your job with ESB back in the mid-80s, I think kind of the weight from 1951 probably didn't weigh as heavily as now, that maybe the teams getting to All-Ireland finals in the 90s, noughties and in the last decade have kind of run up the hype of that weight a little bit more than when you would have first arrived in Mayo?
Yeah, you see, the problem, when I arrived in Mayo, you see, they were happy to win Connacht, really. You know, that was the mindset, kind of, that... They never had the confidence, I suppose. I found that very strange when I was in Mayo, because with Offaly, every time we went to Croke Park, we expected to win, whereas Mayo kind of were going in hope more so than anything, you know. And I found that very, very strange, because when I was training with Mayo for the few months I did, now I only played for Mayo for a few months, but I was astounded by the size of them and the class of them, really, you know. And I even said to them on one stage, if we had Offaly jerseys on us, we'd be winning All-Ireland, you know. So I just, I always thought they underachieved, but I know probably we were more confident than they were. Now, we were never arrogant. It's a very thin line, I know, but I think that Mayo sometimes were, I suppose, thinking they were going to win, but never really, you know, just hoping, I'd say, more than anything. But then that wore thin after a while, because when you start going up thinking of winning All-Ireland and then should have won All-Ireland and then didn't and should have won the next one and didn't, it begins to wear thin then, you know. So it's going to happen someday, but like whether it's Saturday or not, I'm not sure. But I'm very optimistic, though. I think they've came out of nowhere this year, really, you know. So, and maybe that's good, you know.
Would it have taken much convincing for you to put on the green and red and play for Mayo then, Sean, given that you'd already played, you know, over a decade of intercounty football, you had your three Celtic crosses already in the pocket, you didn't need to go play in intercounty football again? Was there much twisting of the arm needed to get you to play?
Well, there was a few visits, all right, from Liam O'Neill at the time, but really it was such a short space of time. And I suppose I was 33, so I said, sure, sugar, you won't do it next year or the year after, you know. You get a chance. Sometimes you get a chance in life. No more than 82 with Offaly, we got a chance of winning in Ireland and we took it, and we haven't got one since. So there's sometimes in life maybe you make a decision and you say, listen, this was, I think it was May, certainly it was April anyway, or May in the 85 when I was approached. And I mean, I said, no matter how it goes, I'd be finished in September anyway. So I never intended to stay any longer than the few months anyway. So I kind of threw caution to the wind and says, forget for a few weeks. You know, why not, you know?
Well, given your affections toward your home county when you'd made the move, I had read that you had said to the Mayo management that if you played Offaly in the All-Ireland series, you wouldn't want to play against them.
No, and I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have, no. I wouldn't have. I was only kind of... Michael and Brendan were playing for Offaly at the time, you know, and sure, I was after winning All-Ireland 3 years before that, but all these guys, you know, so I couldn't walk off the field after beating them anyway. So I certainly wasn't going to walk onto it then, you know. So,
but still, I'd imagine.
No, it didn't work out. I remember driving down from Mayo to see Offaly play in Dublin in O'Connor Park that year, and Dublin beat Offaly in the Leinster semi-final, I'd say it was. So that finished that, you know, like, so.
Well, no back door. There was no way they were going to be able to come through and play in the All-Ireland series.
But one chance, that thing, yeah.
Does the Connacht medal still have a real resonance and importance for you, though? I mean, having won three All-Irelands, a provincial medal, in theory, shouldn't mean quite as much, but how special was it to actually go with that group of players and win a Connacht then?
Well, they were a fine group of players, and I mean, even this day, like, I mean, Eugene McHale rings me every so often. We talk about once every fortnight, I'd say, still, you know, so. And I go up to Sligo, up to Mullaghmore to him every so often, you know, so we're all great mates, and the wives and the children and everything. So kind of there's a few guys there, John Mahan, the same, you know, but any of them, when you meet them, we're all the best of mates, you know. You have that little bond there still, you know, because we won against the odds in 85, really, you know. We were definitely underdogs going in. We had no chance of winning, so it was a big thing that time, you know.
Was it fair to say, Sean, that Roscommon would have been the kind of kings of Connacht at the time?
Oh, they were. They had won four of the previous ones. They were going for five in a row, I think, you know. And they were very unlucky not to win the 1980 All-Ireland Final, you know. So, I suppose getting back to the Connacht medal, I suppose I'm the only one that has a Leinster and Connacht senior football medal, you know. It had never been done before, so even that is... Maybe it's a small thing, but I suppose it's something special still, you know.
Yeah, it's a very, very unusual medal connection to have. Also, did it revitalise you a bit? I mean, you're saying that you're going in and you're kind of midway through the season at the point that they've approached you to come in 1985, and probably your best football years are behind you at 34 years of age. But did you get a new kick going in with a new group of players and giving it one last summer?
Definitely. Then? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I don't know what they expected me to do or that, but Mayo were going very, very poorly at the time, and we were in I think they were beaten, Limerick beat them in the Centenary Cup or something, and they were hammered every other through the league and that kind of stuff. They were at a very low ebb at the time. But I suppose you'd want to talk to the Mayo fellas to see did I make a difference or whatever, you know. Any of them I talked to seemed to think that I did anyway. So even the fact, it's like Shane Lowry giving the under-20s a boost by kind of coming in behind them. I suppose the fact that I had the All-Ireland medals and I still was going to throw my lot in, you know. So maybe that helped them, you know, giving them a boost, you know.
Was part of that psychological as well, Sean? Because you mentioned this idea that if they were going out in Offaly jerseys and maybe had the swagger of some of your former teammates, that Mayo team, given their talent, would be winning a bit more. Was that part of how you were trying to help them out as well, giving them that kind of experience of having been there on big occasions and winning big games?
Yes, exactly. And I even said to them, a lot of them, that way, you know, I says, lads, you're underselling yourselves here all the time, you know what I mean? Fine, big team, all footballers, left foot and right foot, and, you know, very athletic, and, I mean, if you go through that team, like, fabulous team, you know. We definitely could have 85, I know, we drew with Dublin in the semi-final. And, I mean, Kerry were there for the taking, I think, at that time, you know. That's, if we had more of a swagger in us, I'd say we could have done it, you know.
You were probably pig sick of playing a Kerry at that point, though. You'd been involved in 69 with Offaly against the Kerry team, who eventually you would turn over in your first kind of major year on the team in 72 to win the All-Ireland final, and back for one of the most infamous finishes to an All-Ireland final ever in winning in 1982. A lot of big games against Kerry for you over the years, Sean.
Certainly, and I mean, Kerry, I have a great record against Kerry, and I don't mind telling them that every time I meet them. I have played four All-Irelands against Kerry, and I have only lost one of them. Now, we drew one in 72, but we won two, and I only lost one, like, so in 81. So I wouldn't have any fear against Kerry. No, I have great respect for them, but I wouldn't fear them in any shape or form.
the narrative often when it comes to Kerry and Offaly is, understandably, 82 is the one that's remembered because of Derby's goal and the nature of stopping the five in a row, and it goes down in GA folklore and all that. But your second All-Ireland title in 72, Offaly handed out a bit of a trimming to Kerry in the final to actually win. And it was a lot of close games. You look at the great Matt Connor games where you were running Kerry close and just about losing out to that great Kerry team. And also you were coming up against the end of a great Kerry generation in the late 60s, early 70s with the likes of O'Connell and with Mickle and all that team as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was privileged to play against Mick O'Connell in an Ireland final in 72. Mick O'Dwyer, the same, playing in the corner forward at the time. I mean, I was playing on Dan Kavanagh, but I was very young. I was only 20. So it kind of passed me by in that I didn't realise what I was doing or what the occasion was. So kind of so big that it didn't, you know, it didn't register with me, really. You know, it's only when you get older you realise, and you kind of think that, wow, you know, that was a great day to be for Offaly, you know.
I wonder when it comes to that occasion, I'm thinking of some of the young Mayo players who are likely to play this weekend, and we'll see if Oisín Mullen comes back to full fitness and is available to play. Like, some of these guys got a taste for it in an empty Croke Park last year where they played in their first final. They're able to draw on the experience of many of the Mayo players who've, you know, been to the Siders and been quite close to Dublin in recent years. But for those young players, you're talking about coming into two All-Ireland finals and back-to-back years there at, you know, 19 years of age and at 20. Was it genuinely a case of when you went into those finals, Sean, that you wouldn't really have maybe been daunted by the occasion because you've still got that kind of rashness of youth about you?
Well, I don't know whether that is that way or whatever, but it never really bothered me. I was blessed with the kind of... What's the name? I'm blessed with that kind of a thing that I didn't mind. You know, I could play in Croke Park the same as I play in Fermanagh, you know. Or I could play at the end of the field, if you liked, you know. It didn't matter to me what way it went, you know, I was there, you know. And I was blessed with that, kind of. And I think that the Lowrys have that, you know. Brendan was the same and Michael was the same. It didn't really matter. But what was the stage was, we performed the same, you know. Whereas some people, they just... on the big day, it doesn't suit them. You know, you'd see guys getting sick in dressing rooms and, you know, just the occasion is too big for them and they might never will, you know what I mean? Whereas I always think that if you can get the fella that will play on the big day, if you can get enough of them, you'll probably win, you know.
So did you relish going out on those big occasions then, as opposed to, like, for some people, and this happens with loads of players, where they actually think, I get to the big occasion, the adrenaline's going to hit in, I almost perform better in bigger games rather than, you know, you have to motivate yourself for the smaller games. Did you actually really enjoy going to Croke Park then and actually feel that maybe you upped your game as a result?
I loved it. Oh, I absolutely loved it. And I think the better, the bigger the occasion, the better, you know. I didn't, and you see, it's like, if the fella you were playing on didn't like the big occasion, and then there was a big plus for you then, you know what I mean? It was, the chances are that it didn't, everyone wasn't the same as I was, you know. So I don't know what I'm saying here really, but what I'm saying is that the fact that I loved them occasions meant that the other guys mightn't have, the fellas you're playing against, so you were on a winner all the way, you know.
You were living in Mayo at a time when Mayo were getting close to potentially winning an All-Ireland final in the middle of the 90s, and 96 particularly. Probably not an easy one, I would think, in 97 when Offaly and Mayo played each other in an All-Ireland semi-final. I mean, I can only imagine how divided your loyalties must have been then.
Well, my loyalties weren't too divided, but I had two girls, and I remember Newell at that time making a jersey with Offaly on the front and Mayo on the back, and they were wearing they wore them to the match, you know, the two girls did, so... They were certainly divided, you know, but no, I wasn't. I was awfully all the way.
Half and half kits before half and half kits became popular.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah, she put them together with a sewing machine. So, you know, there was a jersey. It was a lovely job at the time. It should have been kept, I suppose.
Mayo would go on, like, after that, from 96 right through to 2017 to get to a series of finals. And having rewatched a few of them, particularly the Mayo Dublin clashes over the last decade ahead of their semi-final, was watching a few of them just a few weeks ago. There's been so many occasions, Sean, where Mayo have been just the wrong side of a result in an All-Ireland final along the way, that, you know, the narrative always becomes that Dublin have gone on to do a remarkable six in a row and they're the team 100% of the last decade. But Mayo have had a lot to say about that story too. Like, on different occasions, if luck had fallen the other way, we could be talking about no curse or no 70-year wait for Mayo and a couple of All-Ireland titles they could have picked up.
Yeah, but so that's, I mean, Will, you heard me saying this already, you know? And I mean, even from the Midwest Radio last Sunday, I said that I thought Mayo were slowing, you know, I mean, to score 2-1 goals in All-Ireland final and to draw the match afterwards, you know, I mean, Dublin scored 2-9 that day. Mayo actually scored 2 goals. So Dublin only scored 9 points that day and still Mayo drew the All-Ireland, you know? And they lost the replay by a point. I think there was only a point between them and 3 All-Irelands, you know? So, like, that, okay, you might make your own luck, but at the same time, I think it's you're seriously unlucky not to get over the line in that instance, you know. We made a lot of mistakes, and they all did bits and pieces here and there, but I just think how unlucky the bounce of the ball, you just don't get that, you know.
When it comes to their belief coming into this Saturday, has to be a huge boost to have ended Dublin's reign, like to have beaten a truly great team in that semi-final and to have, you know, really dug in as well, Sean, at a time when Killian O'Connor's been out injured this year. They lose the Championship's top ever scorer. Aidan O'Shea wasn't having his best day in that semi-final. A lot of trust had to be put into the young players by James Horn. And they dug in a huge performance in semi-finals to beat that Dublin team in extra time. That has to be a huge confidence boost from going into this weekend, I would think.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be a huge confidence boost. But I think what James Horn has done and what he needed to do was he needed to get pace. I know he had the pace with Colm Boyle and Lee Keegan and that, but now he has more guys coming to take, you know, Lee Keegan is still there, but there's some of them gone missing or retired, but the fellas coming in have pace and you need that nowadays, you know. I mean, I think he must have earmarked people that would break that line, that would take them on, that would go for it, you know, that would take that half gap and go through it. You need that in today's game, you know, and that's what shook Dublin, I think, really, that they couldn't believe that these fellas were coming at them and going for these gaps and having to be fouled and whatever, you know. So I think the modern day, dare I say it, I don't think I would fit in because I wasn't fast enough, but I think you need the people to go at them, you know. You need the people to go at them. And that's what Mayo have. And I think it gave them a great shot in the arm to get past Dublin, you know. And I know they were lucky with Rob Henley getting the last point in normal time, but I think in extra time they really put them to bed, you know. So
it makes for an intriguing clash of styles this weekend too, because Tyrone will probably fancy Mayo running at them, that they can put up the guard, stop them and be as effective as they were against Kerry on the counter-attack and to create goal chances along the way. Because it's such a novel pairing and because it's such an interesting clash of styles, it could make for a really good All-Ireland final come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I think so. But I think that Kerry had a better chance of beating Tyrone than I think Dublin had a chance of beating Mayo, you know. I mean, I thought Kerry played poorly, you know, and did a bad job on it and went into a lot of dark alleys and cul-de-sacs and stuff. Whereas I don't think Mayo will be doing that. I don't think they will, you know. And I think if Aidan O'Shea is playing, and I think, which I hope he is really, because he is a captain, he's a big unit, he's a big man, and we need that as well, you know what I mean? We need the anchor man there as well, you know. And I think if we get going early on and if he gets going fairly early on and gets close to goal, I think Aidan O'Shea has spent too long on the half-back line, on the halfway line, and, you know. He's no good back there, you know.
It's always been tricky for them to find the balance with Aidan O'Shea and where they should be playing him as well, Sean. That, like, he started off as such an imposing midfielder younger in his career, and then you're thinking, is he better in the half forward line to break ball? And now as he gets a little bit older, maybe been a bear around the square is the right place to have him. I think if he's in and around the square, it gives Tyrone a lot to think about defensively. It gives Mayo a different option of ball to put into the forward line too.
Absolutely. Well, it gives you the option when you're, if you're caught somewhere, you know, 40 or 50 yards out, and if there's a 1-to-1 or even a 2-to-1, and people coming off the shoulder, you know, people coming, and these Mayo fellas coming like trains, you know, I mean, it gives Aidan O'Shea a great, but as you said, it gives Tyrone something to think about, you know. And I have a feeling that Mayo could get a good start on Sunday, and if they do, their confidence will grow, and hopefully, you know, please God, it'll work out.
You mentioned your nephew Shane. He's going to be going back, confirmed today, to Royal Portrush in 2025. It's come round pretty quickly. There's only going to be a 6-year gap between winning the Open Championship and going back to go as a former champion to try and win it again. I'd imagine, looked at as a Lowry family, you must be excited about the prospect of going back up to the scene of that victory again in a few years' time.
Oh, it should be a tremendous occasion. But I suppose it's 3.5 years away or whatever, you know, so three years and a bit, or so we'll have to try and stay alive that time, won't we?
A lot of golf to be played between now and then, but I think back of
a
photo shoot that I saw of your brothers along with Shane after he won the Irish Open back in 2009,
and
like, it's a Gaelic football mad family, but all of you are kind of mad into the golf. Like, Brendan is, you know, Shane's one of Shane's biggest supporters, but also, you know, a big member in Esker Hills Golf Club and the home golf club too.
That's right, yeah.
Like golf and football is in the blood for all of you, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. Well, I mean, golf wouldn't be only a new thing, I suppose, but at the same time, since Shane took up the first club, I remember thinking he was very special, and he turned out that way, you know. So it's a kind of surreal when you think that he could be playing Ryder Cup and, you know, lining out with the European team, and, you know, and winning in Portrush by 6 shots against the best players in the world. I mean, it's crazy stuff, really, you know.
It was next.
We'll take it.
Portrush was next level as well, though, wasn't it, Sean?
Because it was. The
WGC was fantastic, you know, and like winning a massive event like that, and the Irish Open will never be taken away, or, you know, Portugal or other big successes he's had along the way. But to win an Open Championship on the island of Ireland is just next level, really.
Yeah. Well, you see, that I'd say to people, that was the one that everyone wanted to win. That was the one that all the will always be remembered as the Irish Open or the British Open in Portrush, you know. So I think that was a fantastic occasion. And I mean, it really showed what he is made of, you know. I mean, if you're in Crow Park on Saturday and you don't feel like shooting, you can give it to someone else. But Shane had to give every one of himself. He couldn't ask anyone else to hit them, you know. He was, how he stayed there in the moment, I don't know, because the place was like the weather, the crowds, the bedlam, and he's still there. He hit cannons out of the tee box. I remember thinking at the time, my God, how he's able to hit that ball. And he played tremendous. He was tremendous.
Were you able to relax on the final day because of the lead that he had built up? Because I remember just watching it hole by hole, and you're just kind of hoping that Tommy Fleetwood doesn't get any closer than where he was at.
Yeah,
and because Shane had played so well on the Saturday, like, were you able to relax at all on the Sunday watching him?
No, I didn't relax until Tommy had that double bogey. I think I didn't relax until about the 16th. But I remember, I think the 15th or something, I met Bridget Scanlon's sister, Catherine, and she says, I think we're going to do it. So I says, Catherine, hold your horses yet for a few minutes. But I think from then on, like when he went to 5 shots, and as he says himself, even it's very hard to lose a 5-shot lead in 2 holes, you know, 3 holes. But he was, I think to win the British Open by 6 shots. I mean, most people are trying to par the last to win by a shot or something, you know. So, but he was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I've never known such a scramble for tickets for an event either. Like, maybe compared to an All-Ireland final, and the scramble might be worse for the 40,000 for Mayo and Tyrone fans for this Saturday. But because Shane had shot low 60 on the Saturday and that sniff of success was there, particularly people in Offaly, I think everyone was trying to get a ticket to go to Portrush. And with the amount of jerseys that were seen up there too, like, everyone just scrambled up to the north east of the country that day, it seemed.
Yeah, but it was... the strangest thing was that I probably saw him hitting about six or seven shots that day, because I couldn't get near him. I couldn't get near to where he was. And all the tee boxes were elevated, and all the greens were elevated. There were 10 deep around, and even I'm fairly tall. And God knows, if anyone was small, they had no hope of seeing him. You know, you might see the top of his head, but that'd be it, you know. And it was so such a mad place, you know, that you're better off looking at television. But I couldn't relax until the last few holes. But anyway,
nothing will ever compare to being there.
No, you can't. And it's the first time you won a major, so you can't get better than that. You know, the first time, there's only one time that you remember really well, and that's the first. But hopefully, you win a few more.
Yeah, I like the way you phrased it. First, potentially, of many more. He's still a young man in golfing terms.
He's
going to go to the Ryder Cup, and that'll all be secured at the end of Wentworth this weekend. And some of the players that are behind him would need to win or finish in the top two. So if Shane has a steady weekend, he's going to be selected. No need to wait for a captain's pick from Potter Carrington if that's the case. It'll all fit very nicely as well, Sean, if he gets there, because it'll be the same weekend, literally 50 years ago, that you picked up your first Celtic cross with Offaly back in 71. A nice little symmetry if Shane gets to play in the Ryder Cup at the end of this month.
Yeah, we're having a 50th anniversary. Well, actually, I was talking to you earlier, Will, about it, Paddy Fenning, the walk. There's a sponsored walk on that day. So we're all meeting up at 11 o'clock in Tullamore to do a few steps, and then we're going to have a bit of lunch. So hopefully we might... be looking at Shane winning the Ryder Cup for Europe in the evening. So it'd be brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
That's coming up on the 26th of September, which is the Sunday in Tullamore. It's an 11 a.m. start. Paddy Fenning was a former teammate of yours, Sean. He passed away last year from motor neuron disease. And the idea of the fundraiser, which Sean Larry will be taking part in, is to raise money for three different causes. One for motor neuron research, one for care for people with motor neuron disease, and also for homeless charities in Offaly. The aim is to raise €150,000. €100,000+ has already been raised toward it in Paddy Fenning. Name, and if you want more details on that, paddyfenningwalk.com has got all the details. But Sean, it'll be a nice way to mark Paddy Fenning, who I think was a very popular member of your panel in the early 70s, and a guy who kind of brought really all your panel together for your, you know, get-togethers that you would have had pretty much up since the Jubilee, when you were 25 years after 1971.
Yeah, he was a glue, actually, that brought us all together. He was the one that made the phone calls. He was the one that wrote all the letters out for fundraising, and when we were going for we used to go golfing holidays, Spain and Portugal and places, every couple of years, every year actually. And once the 25th anniversary was over, so he was the one that did all that kind of stuff. There was a plane load left all the time, the full plane went to these, but Paddy was responsible for all the organising. You can imagine getting there with all these people and tea times and boogies and trying to get golf courses and all that kind of stuff. But Paddy was the supreme organizer. And it's so sad. I mean, he was only a year or two older than myself. So he was just turned 70, and he got motor neuron. And then he decided he was going to do a fundraiser, collect $150,000 for homeless and for the research into it. But unfortunately, COVID kind of paid to the first year, and Paddy died in the meantime then. So very, very sad. Very, very sad.
Well, look, hopefully it can be a nice occasion to mark both Paddy Fenning and also the first success for Offaly in 1971. Before that, I hope your adopted county go well in the final this coming weekend, Sean. And thanks a million for joining us tonight and Off the Ball.
And just before you go, Will, are you still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah, can I give a shout out to Cross Molina under 19 team? They're my home club in Mayo. They won the county final this evening under 19. So They also won the under 14, the under 15. So, was Cross Minor on the way up again? They won a Club All Ireland a few years ago, but they weren't going well lately. But they're up again. So, well done, Cross Minor.
Congratulations, Cross Minor.
No, I can go back to Cross Minor on holidays anytime I like from now on.
Good man. Enjoy it. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Will. No bother.
We also will have a Mayo special coming up on OTBM tomorrow morning. Owen Sheehan will be live from Castlebar. Liam McHale, John O'Mahony, Willie Joe Padden and Mick Loftus, who was a member of the 51 panel, will be with them. Then on Friday, Owen will be heading to Oma to get a flavour of the mood in Tyrone. We'll have more in a minute.